Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
According to multiple sources, Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy is emerging as the leading candidate to take over as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders now that John Gruden is out. This is interesting to say the least. Bieniemy has a long history, a long time ago, of legal issues. Several of those included violence and violence against women. What does it say about our society that words matter more than actions? The Chiefs, meanwhile, are working to replace their running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's out several weeks with a knee injury. Marlon Mack from the Colts is available. He's been reduced to second-string running back there. A trade could be happening very soon. Walgreens has closed 5 stores in San Francisco because, well, thieves just keep walking in and stealing everything. Authorities there won't arrest anyone, so the pharmacy chain has no choice but to close the doors that are likely in areas where they're needed the most. How bad is inflation right now? Well, here's an admission for you. Social Security benefits are going up 6% next year. That's the biggest cost of living adjustment in 39 years. And it's probably not enough the way prices are skyrocketing. And we even have music news. Sir Paul McCartney slams the Rolling Stones, and Tim McGraw slams fans that heckle him at a concert because he didn't know the words to his own song. It's brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC, in Excelsior Springs, online at robertsrobinson.com with Chevrolet, find new roads. 360 Document Solutions, online at 360documentsolutions.com. Mark Lindquist and his team can make your office more efficient in anything you do with machines. IT solutions, copiers, mailing systems, printers, phone systems. Get a complimentary analysis by calling 360 Document Solutions, any business in Western Missouri or the entire state of Kansas. 913-745-5344. Buck Roofing and Construction, online at rbuckroofing.com. You want that free roof inspection? Do it before winter gets here. 913-384-2680. And you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And Gary Joslin and his team at Joslin's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. Fall is a time to fall in love. At Joslin's, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. All right, is Eric Bieniemy going to be the next head coach of the Raiders? And how would this even work? Would it be in season, after the season? A lot of questions yet to be answered on KKHI. Hit it!
Fry Orthodontics presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Your smile is just the start. Online at fryorthodontics.com.
We start this episode again with sports because, to be honest, the Democrats don't seem to be doing any damage this week. There's not a lot of big news in D.C. They aren't getting their, you know, they got the budget ceiling extended to December, so they'll just keep spending, but it seems like they're not very hell-bent on pushing their $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill through, which is great. So we will start again with sports here at KKHI. As always, thank you so much for joining us. And the fallout from the John Gruden resignation or firing continues to grow. And reaction from around the sports world of this huge story taking place, we'll get to that in a moment. On the Chiefs front, as far as getting better and winning games, there are now more and more reports that they are working hard with the Colts to try to acquire running back Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack has been in the league since 2017. He's a fine running back. He's not a great running back, but he's a fine running back. He's essentially lost his number one position with the Colts to Jonathan Taylor, who's getting the majority of the carries for the Colts this season. And so Mack becomes an expendable player, and it sounds like the Chiefs are working pretty hard to get him, as Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be out for several weeks, it looks like. But the big news around this John Gruden thing is going to be, as we go through the week and Chiefs coaches are asked about all this, Eric Bieniemy certainly is going to be asked about the potential for him to be a candidate for the Raiders job. There's no shortage of media outlets already saying Eric Bieniemy is the top candidate to replace John Gruden. And I find this fascinating because this is where we are in America today. John Gruden wrote some bad emails. He clearly has a foul mouth. He is an equal opportunity offender. And he's out. Because you can't write those things, you can't say those things. It was years and years ago, some of these emails, and nobody questions this, whether he should be out or not. It just, it happens. Words are now the worst thing in American culture. And to give you a classic example of this, when you look at all these different sites that are going to say Eric Bieniemy is the top candidate, he's interviewed for a dozen different jobs or whatever in the NFL, and he's never gotten the position. And you have to ask yourself, why has Eric Bieniemy not become a head coach? Well, this is a really long, strange road that Eric Bieniemy's had in his career. He played in the NFL. He went to the University of Colorado. He got in so much trouble that he was eventually banned from the campus for a year. Only later, reportedly, a couple of years ago, offered the head coaching position at Colorado that he turned down. These are things that never get mentioned when we talk about Eric Bieniemy, that he turned down a multi-million dollar job at the University of Colorado to be a head coach. And he's never been a head coach. He could easily go to Colorado, have some success, go to the NFL and be a head coach. He's interviewed for all these positions. And what went wrong in the interviews? What went wrong in this process? I want to know how this goes. Okay, this has been years ago, and we can say maybe this isn't fair, and it's not the man who he is today. But we've just had back-to-back major controversies with Urban Meyer for being in a bar and having a woman dancing on his knee in a bar and apologizing to his team. And he kept his job over this deal. He kept his job. And now we have the John Gruden emails that the NFL, I don't even know if it was legal what they did. If I'm him, I'm considering a lawsuit against the National Football League right now because they confiscated those records from the Washington Redskins, and I'm not sure it's legal to release somebody's private emails like that and ruin their career. I don't know. I see a lot of emails with disclaimers on them that say, you know, this is private, da-da-da-da-da. I don't know. Certainly not smart enough to know the law in that area, but it doesn't seem to me like it should even be legal for the NFL to confiscate computers from the Washington Redskins and ruin John Gruden's life and career. His name has been taken from the Ring of Honor in Tampa Bay, where he won a Super Bowl. Look, I don't feel that bad for Gruden. I don't. You know, I can't imagine anybody sending emails and writing those things. I can't. So it's not the way I write emails. It's not what I would do. Everybody knows that if you put it in an email, you have to think it's going to last forever. We went over that on the podcast on Tuesday. But we see this happen with Urban Meyer. We see it happen with John Gruden. And now we say Eric Bieniemy is the obvious choice. And the number of people who say he should be a head coach, to me, is staggering. Because those people haven't interviewed him for a job. They haven't done a background check. This one's really simple. Go to Google and punch in the name Eric Bieniemy and watch what happens when his Wikipedia page comes up. About three topics down, it says legal issues with Eric Bieniemy. Seven different legal issues, including a fire that he set in a garage or fought with firefighters trying to put out a fire in a garage. And the worst, he and a group of others arrested when Bieniemy, this is what he was arrested for, woman says he put his hands on her throat. They all pulled their pants down in this incident. A group of guys pulled their pants down with this woman while he's got his hands on her throat and says, yes, a bunch of black males all at once is your worst nightmare. And they threaten this girl. Now, that's been years ago, but that is far worse than anything John Gruden has ever done, or Urban Meyer, or any of these other controversies of words or pictures. It has been a long time ago. I believe in second chances. I'm not saying he shouldn't become a head coach. But if you're in a major media market where these questions pop up, where reporters start to ask, you know, what about all these incidents? What about your legal issues in the past? You know, are you the right man to lead here? Again, it has been a long time ago. But how do you explain that to your fans? How do you explain if the cancel culture people really want to come out, if the sexual harassment people, if the women's libbers, I don't even know what we call them anymore, if these women's rights people come out of the woodwork after Eric Bieniemy gets hired and says, wait a second, this is a man that was arrested for putting his hands on a woman's throat, pulling his pants down, and threatening her by saying a bunch of black males all at once is your worst nightmare. How do you defend that when that comes out? I'm just asking the question. If he becomes your head coach and the feminists act 6 months later, they go, wait a second, what's up with this Bieniemy guy? Oh, he did this? Oh, maybe we should take this public. How do you defend that? How do you defend it? Because all the media in Kansas City want him to get a job. I get it. I get it. They want black coaches hired, more black coaches hired. I get it. I'm cool with that part. I'm asking if the cancel culture comes after Eric Bieniemy, How do you defend that? No matter how long ago it was, how do you defend it? I don't have the answer to that, but I'm going to guess as he's gone through the interview process, some of these things have come up. They would have to come up. Your criminal past would have to come up. And I'm not saying that's who he is today. Again, I'm not sure it should keep him from getting hired. I'm not sure it should be a big deal if it did come out after he were hired. But this is the game we're playing now in this country. Somebody gets hired, somebody's in position, and oh, we're going to bring up your past. When we bring up your past, it's going to be the biggest story in all the biggest media outlets. Here we go. And I would ask, using the word queer or calling Roger Goodell a name or saying a man has lips the size of Michelin tires, all pretty bad, all in emails, all shouldn't have been done. But did he pull his pants down, put his hands on a woman's throat and threaten her to, what was the threat, a gang rape? Is that what the threat is here? A bunch of black males all at once is your worst nightmare? It sounds like a gang rape threat to me. He was arrested for that. It has, again, it's been a long time ago, but how do you explain this away if it comes up? If cancel culture comes after him after he's hired, how do you explain that? No matter when it was, how do you explain that? To women, how do you explain it? I don't have the answer. I don't know. It seems so lazy to me to just say, oh, Eric Bieniemy's the top candidate. Chiefs have an offense that scores. Bieniemy's been there a while. He's black. He's the top candidate. There it is. Maybe he is. Maybe he is the top candidate. Maybe he'll be a great head coach, and maybe his legal issues will never come up. I don't know. But if what we're doing is going back in people's pasts and canceling them for things, Eric Bieniemy better walk very carefully. He should tread very lightly in everything that he does. Again, I think the most interesting fact about Eric Bieniemy when the conversation comes up is he turned down the head coaching job at the University of Colorado. He turned it down. This was a man that was so much trouble in college that he was arrested. He was banned from the Colorado campus for a year. For a year, he was banned from being on campus. Later, to be offered the head coaching position. That's amazing. And he turned it down. So we'll see what happens here in the fallout from John Gruden. You know, and feel free to Google Bieniemy if you want to read about all his legal issues. They're right there on his wiki page. But Gruden, as I mentioned, has been struck from the Ring of Honor in Tampa. Now, all kinds of people are coming out and saying things. Keyshawn Johnson has said, from day one, Gruden's been a used car salesman. That's Keyshawn Johnson's statement. Shannon Sharp went off. The Fox Sports host went off on this story. And what is he mad at? Was he mad at Gruden? I mean, I guess he is, but that's not where his attention was. What is Shannon Sharp's beef here? Oh, Shannon Sharp is livid that Gruden is being fired for anti-gay comments and slurs like that and the names that he called Roger Goodell. He's livid that he's not being fired for being a racist. Shannon Sharp's like, wait a second, these gay slurs are getting all the attention. What about the racist John Gruden? Yeah, he wrote in an email that DeMaurice Smith has lips the size of Michelin tires. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad, but he also made fun of fat people and transgenders and whatever. Okay? So what's getting all the attention? It's not the racist John Gruden, because there's just too many black friends that he has and too many former players and coworkers and colleagues that say he ain't got a racist bone in his body. All right, he may have written something stupid, but he doesn't have a racist bone in his body, and Shannon Sharp can't believe it. Shannon Sharp is so upset this is not about race. I mean, he just went off that the gay slurs are getting all the attention and not racist things that he says. And that's pretty much where we reside. In 2021, groups of marginalized people, I don't know what that is. I keep hearing that term. Groups of, I mean, it doesn't sound right to say minority, but that's what they are. They're small percentages of the population. I think black America is about 13% of the population. Gay America is less than 4%. So these are smaller percentages of population. Is that what we call marginalized people? People that aren't represented with, you know, 50% like gender? Although we seem to think that women are marginalized. They're half the population, actually more than half the population, I believe. So this is where we are. This is what it's about. Don't speak. Don't say things. If we find something you said That's much worse than if you did something in your past. You can have a domestic disturbance. You can lay your hands apparently on a woman in the past. You can do things, and that's just fine as long as you are not a white person committing gay slurs or racist slurs. That's going to be gone. Can't do it. Watch what you say. Don't speak. It's no longer about actions. It's about words. And that's where we are, clearly, if Eric Bieniemy is on the fast track to becoming the Raiders' next head coach. Now, I don't know how that would work. This is pretty interesting. I personally would think that Byron Leftwich at Tampa would be a better candidate. Tom Brady speaks glowingly of Byron Leftwich. I don't know Byron Leftwich. I've been around Eric Bieniemy a bunch. I do not think he's head coach material. I don't. I'm just telling you. And I've spotted a lot of guys here that I didn't think were head coach material. In the case of the Royals, it was Trey Hillman. You're like, what? Trey Hillman? What? No, that's not going to work. With the Chiefs, going back as far as Frank Gans, you could spot it right away. Not head coach material. Gunther Cunningham, not head coach material. You could spot this. You can spot it. You can tell who's a head coach and who's not. And I don't think this man is going to be a successful head coach ever in the NFL, ever. So if the Raiders want to hire him, that's fine with me. And I don't know how that would work with the Chiefs because this is in season. I don't know what the contract says or what they can do. Can you hire a coach away in the middle of the season? The Chiefs have a rising star on their staff named Mike Kafka. We've talked about him on this podcast before. I think he would immediately be elevated offensive coordinator if Bieniemy left. I don't know how you could hire Bieniemy away from a team in your division that you're going to play twice and install him as the head coach in the middle of a season. I don't think the Chiefs should allow that. I think this should be after the season. And that's when it would be, and go ahead and have your interim coach the rest of the way. You made your decision. I just don't think you should be allowed to hire a coach away in season that knows everything you're doing, that knows your playbook inside and out, and becomes your head coach in the middle of a season. I don't. That doesn't sound right or fair to me in any way, shape, or form. But Byron Leftwich may be the better candidate anyway in Tampa. And I think it's probable that the Raiders go with a black coach. They've had black coaches in the past. The Raiders have always been great at checking all the boxes. And then they were accused when they hired Gruden of not being fair enough in, you know, equity in looking for diversity candidates. I'm like, my goodness, the Raiders have had all kinds of diversity candidates. They've led the way with that, beginning with Tom Flores. I mean, they've been so good at that through the years. The last organization you should ever criticize on that would be the Raiders organization. So will they do that after this? Is that an overreaction to do that? Maybe. But Eric Bieniemy and Byron Leftwich apparently are both ready to be head coaches, and we'll see how the whole thing plays out. One other fun sports note. There's a former basketball player, NBA player named J.R. Smith, and I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's doing something that I think is very interesting. He petitioned the NCAA to get some eligibility. This is after playing in the NBA. To gain college eligibility to go back to school, work on his education, and play college golf at North Carolina A&T. This is not a big school. He's not trying to win the national championship, but he's a nice golfer. He's not a championship college type golfer in any way. And the NCAA allowed it. And they said, sure, go back to school and be a college golfer. So J.R. Smith plays college golf at North Carolina A&T. And this week, he's playing in a golf tournament in North Carolina, and he hits his tee shot out into the woods. And he goes out into the woods, and he steps on a beehive. And he gets apparently stung all over his foot. They call the medical cart. There is a medical cart in golf. They come out, and you can get medical aid and continue playing. And that's what he did. This is my worst nightmare. I mean, I play golf all the time. I'm in the woods. I try not to think about snakes. My wife is always, when we play together, she's always thinking about snakes because she hates them. And, you know, we've seen plenty of snakes on the golf course, whatever. I feel like you're not going to get bit by a snake unless you just flat step on it. You pretty much just got to go step on the snake where they are. And if you're watching where you're going, yes, it can be in the grass or under the leaves and you don't see it. These things can happen. But, man, a beehive, ooh. I guess he just stepped right on something that was some sort of fire ants or bees in the ground or something. And it looked pretty nasty. And he got medical attention and he kept playing. In the two rounds of this tournament, J.R. Smith shot 78 and 83 after stepping on a beehive. And I don't like bees and I don't like stinging insects. And that's pretty cool that he kept going. Way to go, J.R. Smith. Proud of you. And I think that's a neat story. You know, you're going back to school and you want to play college golf. I say good for you. I played a few holes of golf with Jack Harry recently. A lot of you, when I run into you, say, hey, how's Jack doing? Or how's Frank doing? How are those guys doing? I say, Jack's doing well. We played some golf together. He says he listens to the podcast. And he told me to shorten it up when you're talking about those sponsors, that it lasts too long, that you talk too long. And I said, Jack, when I saw him, I said, today's podcast was 56 minutes long. How much do you think, how many total minutes of ad content do you think there was in 56 minutes of podcasting? And one of my buddies said, 16? I said, no, that's television, where there's at least 18 minutes per hour, and sometimes it's 22 or 23 minutes per hour on television. Radio's much the same way. We used to do about 18 or 19 minutes of commercials per hour when I was on sports radio. We typically do just a little less than an hour on these podcasts, and my commercials are less than 5 minutes total. And I think that's pretty good because I don't do 60s. I don't talk about them forever. I said, Jack, are you really listening? Or do you just want the content and you don't want the ads? I said, coming for you and all the years you were in broadcast advertising, that seems a little weird, but I'll try to shorten them when I can because you know who the awesome sponsors are anyway. You know about bstock.net in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. This week, it's the Samsung 70-inch TU7000. Retails over $700 everywhere else, $499 at bstock. They also got a great new shipment of Apple products in. Go check them out in Olathe or online at bstock.net. Marion Body Shop. My man Justin over at Marion Body Shop just does things better than other corporate body shops. It's the attention to detail, and I mean detail. If they fix your car after you've been in some sort of a fender bender or an accident, they will also detail it at the end and deliver it to you like a brand new car. Nobody else does that. That's like a $250 value at the end of fixing your ride. Why would you go anywhere else? MerriamBodyShop.com. Call 913-362-1198. Ask for my man Justin over at Merriam Body Shop, just off I-35 and Johnson Drive. Amazing Garage Floors, online at AmazingGarageFloors.net. John Hutchins is a patriot. He served this country with honor, and he would love to serve you right now by sealing your driveway or building that amazing garage floor for you. It's AmazingGarageFloors.net. 913-901-7139. And TJ Vilkanskis and his team at Back 9 Development. These guys can build now. Custom homes, commercial properties, room additions. What a great developer Back 9 is anywhere in the Midwest. If you'd like to check them out online, you could see their portfolio, including the Solheim Condominiums at Grandmere on the award-winning Colbert Hills Golf Course in the Flint Hills of beautiful Manhattan, Kansas. There you go, Jack. Short enough. If you're even listening, you should be listening, Jack. You should be. Might learn a few things listening to this podcast. He and I differ on many topics. We'll just leave it at that. We differ on many topics, but I love me some Jack Harry. He's a very dear friend, and he is doing well. Walgreens in San Francisco has closed 5 stores. And you may say, oh, that's a big deal. 5 stores are closed in San Francisco. Big deal. Why did Walgreens, in the middle of a pandemic, when these stores have never done better, pharmacies have never done better. The government's paying to give people shots. They got all kinds of great things going on. Everybody needs a pharmacy. San Francisco's a big city. Why would they close 5 stores in San Francisco? Some of you may know this story or may have heard. They've closed 5 more stores in San Francisco because of crime and theft. San Francisco is so out of control, Walgreens says, we're not doing it. Sorry, we'd love to be here in this part of the city, serving the underserved part of the community. Okay, this is where we need the shots. These are people that aren't getting the vax. We need these Walgreens open. Underserved areas, right? Can't do it. Why can't you do it? Well, people are coming in and robbing us. We're not allowed to defend ourselves, and the cops won't do anything about it. They won't arrest anybody, and they won't stop it. And the people here know all they got to do is walk in, load up a bag of anything they want, and walk out, and there's going to be no trouble. That they will not be arrested. If they are arrested, they're going to be released. They just come in and steal stuff right and left. There's crime everywhere. There's homeless people on the corner, and they're just stealing our stuff. We can't operate like this. We're losing money, and it's dangerous for our employees. They've closed the five most dangerous stores in San Francisco because of just walk-in, walk-out crime. Just being allowed to happen. And we're worried about the insurrection from January 6th, where nobody had a gun. Nobody took anything, I don't think. They took pictures. They took pictures of places in people's offices and whatnot. We just allow crime in San Francisco to where private businesses have to shut down because they won't do anything about the crime. They won't do a thing. I mean, nothing. It's out of control. I don't blame Walgreens. That's just Joe Biden's America. There's all kinds of signs of Joe Biden's America. How about this? Are you on Social Security? Your check's going up next year. 5.9%. It's almost a 6% increase. This is a cost of living adjustment. That's inflation, is the word that I use. 6%. Well, if they think Social Security needs to go up 6%, 5.9, that's the biggest raise in 39 years. What's actual inflation? Because they're running around telling us it's like 3%. Well, if they keep saying it's 3%, why are they raising Social Security almost 6%? Newsflash, 6% isn't enough. We may have to raise the old rates on the podcast here one of these days because of inflation. It's everywhere. And 6% for Social Security is going to be, I think for the average person, it's going to be somewhere around $100 a month increase. So good for them, but I don't think 6% is going to cover inflation, not in today's America, not the way things are going right now. I don't think that's enough. But that's a pretty strong admission that things are not going well. The vaccine mandate is closer to becoming a reality for employers with 100 employees or more. We're seeing the effect it's having on airlines. We're going to see a lot of pilots quit. They will. They'll quit over this because they've, as we've talked about, some of them might even be Social Security aged. I mean, there's probably a bunch of pilots that will have their military pension, their union pilot union pension, and Social Security all at once. They could have it all. If you're 62 years old and you're still flying, you can do it all. Why would you keep working if you feel strongly about this? And there's a lot of pilots that have military backgrounds that feel strongly on this. So the vaccine mandate's going to blow up. It's just going to devastate certain businesses and the supply chain and the way that we work. We've already started to see that. They know this. They've got this mandate written. This is the funniest part, that they want everybody to get the vaccine, but written in the fine print of the mandate for your employees. These employers that have to follow this, you have to give your employee time off to go get the shot. Okay, seems reasonable enough, even though an employee may be able to do that on their lunch hour or whatever. I don't know, what do you take, a half day to go get your shot? What will most people do? I don't know. Then you have to give your employee days off to recover from the shot if they need it. So I want you to stop and think about this. We're going to mandate that people go get a shot, that we're also going to mandate the employer gives them days off in case they get sick from said shot. This is lunacy. We're going to make you go get something that could make you feel really crappy, but we're going to give you time off. Go get that shot. See how sick you get. Go on. You go take it now. We'll give you some time off from work if you don't feel good for 3 or 4 days. Go on, go take that shot. Put that thing in your body and go home sick. It's in the fine print of the mandate. I just can't. I just don't understand. I don't understand the mandates. I don't know who they're helping. If you're vaccinated, why do you care if someone else is? At its core, I do not understand why people on the left are so concerned about other people. I don't get it. Why can't they concern themselves with themselves? And you've got a vaccine. You love the vaccine. You trust the vaccine. Good for you. Don't worry about what other people are doing. This is, of all the craziness out there, this is the one I get the least. My goodness. We came up with Warp Speed, a vaccine that people love, and it works for. And those people that are vulnerable to COVID, this is great for them. It's awesome. The vaccine is awesome. I love it. I love the vaccine. I'm all about the vaccine. But I'm way more all about everybody getting to live their own life. And if you've gone and gotten your shot and you're vaccinated, why do you care if another person got it? Why do you care? It's like saying, well, I have children. You should have children too. What? I have three kids. You should have three kids. You should have three kids. You only have one kid. You should have two more. I had three. That's the right way. I'm right. You're wrong. You should have three. Who does that? Who does that? And the flu shot has been around forever. And some people get the flu shot. I think we now have identified who those people are. They get the flu shot every year. I've never taken it. It's never occurred to me to get the flu shot. I've said this many times. I'm pretty sure at some point I've had the flu. I don't really remember it or know it, but I've clearly built up natural immunity against the flu because I don't get the flu. And if I do, I don't know that I have it. Why would I get a flu shot every year if I never get the flu? So I haven't done that. I've had COVID, wasn't bad. I've got natural immunity. I think I'm good to go. And the vax mandate is crazy because within the mandate now they're saying, oh, we'll give you days off. If you don't feel well, you go get this shot. You got to get this shot. The shot is great. You got to go get the shot. Now, if you're sick for several days, the employer must pay you for time off for taking this shot and getting sick. Wow. Transgender employees at Netflix are planning a walkout over Dave Chappelle's comedy special, The Closer. Dave Chappelle's a funny guy. He's a dirty guy now. He's an offensive guy, but a lot of offensive comedy is funny. If you have thick skin and you don't mind, he makes fun of white people. He makes all kinds of white people jokes. He makes fun of everybody. Dave Chappelle does not care. There is no limit to the people he will make fun of. And in his new special, which I have not seen, but I've seen a couple clips online, he goes after transgenders pretty hard. He makes fun of Caitlyn Jenner, says, I've met Caitlyn Jenner, a fine person, but come on, Caitlyn Jenner was woman of the year in the United States. Her first year as a woman. And that's a funny line. That's a really funny line. Her first year as a woman, she was woman of the year. He says, that's a pretty good trick. Your first year as a woman. He goes on to say in a very serious note, and he makes people think in the comedy, he says, look, every single one of us on earth came from our mom. We know how we were born, and we were all born male or female. He says, I don't see the controversy here. And the transgenders are livid at Dave Chappelle, and those that work at Netflix want him fired, canceled, the show taken from Netflix. The CEO says, no chance we're taking Dave Chappelle off Netflix. The question is, what if this was a white comic? What if this was Jerry Seinfeld? What if Jerry Seinfeld went out there and started making transgender jokes? Would he be canceled? It's a good question. You know, Dave Chappelle's got some cover here, and I support his right to free speech, and I support his show in any way that he sees fit. But he's got cover. He hangs out with liberals, and he's black. But he says a lot of conservative things that really bother people on the left because Dave Chappelle is self-made. There are a lot of conservative principles to who and what he is. But he's got cover. He's got cover by the color of his skin. He's got cover by the people he hangs out with. He hangs out with liberals in Hollywood and professes to be a Democrat. That helps him a lot. So he gets to say whatever he wants. And Netflix is going to stand by him. And indeed, they have stood by him. Oh, some interesting goings on in the entertainment industry in music. Did you guys see these comments? This is where we get to light. We see sports, politics, life. I got a couple of topics here that have nothing to do with sports or politics, but I like these. Hope you'll enjoy them. The first is Sir Paul McCartney, who has come out and said an awful lot recently about the Beatles. He talked about John Lennon. He said, John Lennon broke us up. He calls him Johnny. Refers to him as, oh, our Johnny's the one who split our band up. And I don't think McCartney was all too happy with that. He says, it wasn't me. He walked in one day and says, I'm leaving the Beatles. How's that for breaking up a band? So he's told that story. He's now said, well, This is something I shouldn't say, but I'm going to say it. Because a lot of people have asked the question, Beatles or Rolling Stones? Which is the greatest rock band of all time? Well, everybody's got their own individual taste. We all have our rankings, but a lot of people through the years, Rolling Stone magazine and, you know, Variety and music people, reviewers, which is the greatest band of all time, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones? And I actually am marginal fans of both of them. I've seen the Stones, didn't get a chance to see the Beatles because they broke up. I've seen the Stones, it was fine. I like the Rolling Stones, I like many of their songs, I like many of the Beatles songs, but they're not constantly on my playlist. These are not like passions for me. But I've always been fascinated by the question, Beatles or the Rolling Stones? And most people will say the Beatles, that they were revolutionary, that they changed the industry. Well, Sir Paul McCartney was asked about this, and he says, well, I believe we were much better than the Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones really are just a blues cover band. Paul McCartney said in an interview publicly that the Rolling Stones really are just a blues cover band and that we cast a much wider net, had many more influences than blues music, and, you know, therefore we are more talented musicians and better than the Rolling Stones. Props to Mick Jagger, who was asked to respond and said, this isn't a competition. It has never been a competition. We're different bands because we're still around. Even though they lost their drummer this year, they're touring. They're touring and they're playing. And McCartney said, or Jagger said, you know, the Beatles played a stadium gig one time, but they never really became the touring band that we've become. We're a football stadium, Wembley Stadium, Madison Square Garden phenomenon. And the Beatles never did that because they broke up. He said, you can't compare the two bands. We've stayed together forever. And we've done all these things that they've never done because they broke up. And I thought it was nice. I thought he was taking the high road. He didn't say we're better than them. He just said, there's no comparison. We're just completely different. We've stayed together. We've been a phenomenon. We've toured into our 70s, and people still pay and come to see us. And I thought that was pretty cool of Mick Jagger to say that, saying it's not a competition. Don't ask which band is better, that we're just completely different. They were a phenomenon for a short number of years and broke up, and we've been together 50 years or longer, 60 years almost. I thought that was pretty strong. I can't believe Paul McCartney said that, and I never really thought of the Rolling Stones as just a blues cover band. I guess I can see that, but I like their music, and I like the bluesy tone to a lot of the stuff they do. You know, there's certainly better singers than Mick Jagger. I respect the band. They stayed together to the very end. They've lost their drummer. They play. They're not the band they were 40 years ago, certainly, but they put on a show. Mick works hard. He's flamboyant. He clearly has the it factor on stage, and people like the Rolling Stones. If you got an extra $100 laying around, you want to go see a show or 150, whatever it costs, go see the Rolling Stones because you can't go see the Beatles. You can't do that. Pretty interesting. A blues cover band. Never thought of them like that. Oh, Tim McGraw is a singer, and there's a couple Tim McGraw songs I like. There's a couple. Tim McGraw's okay. He's married to Faith Hill. They're like a power couple in country music. They're both acting in and starring in a new show called 1883, which is a prequel to Yellowstone, which debuts the first week of November. The first Sunday in November, Yellowstone is back on Paramount. If you have not watched Yellowstone, watch it. Go on demand right now and watch the back episodes, or watch the week in advance. They'll play them the whole week. They'll do a marathon before the new one is released. It's Kevin Costner and a bunch of other really good actors. It's a modern-day Western. Is what it is. It's what Yellowstone is. And it's really well made. It's really, really good. So it's so popular, they're doing a prequel about the Dutton family. This is all about I'll tell you what Yellowstone is. It's like Dallas. Remember the TV show Dallas? It's like that. You know, Kevin Costner is J.R. Ewing, essentially. They're kind of bad people, but they're the good guys, and you root for them. There's nothing they won't do to screw somebody over, but you somehow root for them. It's very much like Dallas. But it's set in Montana in 2021. Well, the prequel is set in 1883, and it is Kevin Costner's character now's great-grandfather, played by Tim McGraw, and he's going to take the family from Dallas, Texas, or the Fort Worth area, on a journey to Montana, where they're going to acquire land and start ranching. That's what the whole story is about, is how they get from Texas to Montana in 1883. It's going to be a good old-fashioned Western. It's probably going to be really cool. I hope it goes through Dodge City, and I hope we see Matt Dillon. That'd be really cool, wouldn't it? Miss Kitty, how fun would that be? You know, drum some of that stuff up. That'd be pretty cool. Anyway, Tim McGraw has been shooting this thing, and he's doing a concert in Reno, Nevada, which apparently is pretty close to where they're shooting this. They may be in Utah or something nearby. I don't know where, but he says, hey, listen, we just did... He gets up on stage and he forgets the words to the songs. It's a bad concert. The clips that are out are like, wow, who would pay to see this? Now, I've got a little bias against Tim McGraw and Faith Hill because they're a rarity in country music. They are flaming liberals. Flaming liberals in Nashville, which is pretty rare around country music. So I'm not a fan for part of that reason. His songs, as soon as Biden won, he put a song out with a guy that's in Florida Georgia Line that is a liberal, and it's all about coming together. Let's all be together now. Well, of course, your guy won, so you write a song about let's all hold hands and come together. BS, Tim McGraw. You had 4 years of your chance to bring people together, and you were out there spouting off the other way. Don't go writing songs to me about what we're supposed to do now that Biden has won. So I don't like him. I don't hate him, but I don't like him. He forgets the words. It's a bad concert. He stops in the middle. People are heckling him. There's video clips. Go to TMZ to check it out. They're heckling Tim McGraw. He stops the concert, steps down off the stage, and gets in the fans' faces. Confronts them. It does not get violent, but he confronts them. He gets back up on stage and says, give me a break. I've been filming for 48 hours. I'm doing this thing called 1883. No, not give you a break. People paid money to see you. You need to know the words to your songs and not stop a concert. And you could hear people screaming, keep going, keep playing. Please don't stop. They want him to not stop the concert. Dude doesn't know the words to his own songs. If you're stretched too thin because you're a movie star now and you can't do your concert properly, don't do the concerts. This is as Bush League as it gets. I mean, this is really bad. We get on athletes all the time for being unprepared and not performing well. I can't think of anything worse, and he should just be embarrassed to death that this happened. He should feel really, really bad about his own performance and really rethink his career of whether he wants to go be the actor guy or whether he wants to be on tour. Maybe not do them simultaneously. Maybe sit behind a piano at times with words on a teleprompter. I mean, I felt like many, many, many years ago, Billy Joel was one of the greatest performers I've seen. He got up on his piano. He ran around the stage. The guy went crazy. Just a tremendous performer. Well, he's at his piano a lot now, and there's a little prompter up there with all the words, and he keeps a book up there with music and notes. He's just at that point in his life. These songs were written 60 years ago. He doesn't sit around his house and play them all day. He goes and does 10 or 12 concerts a year, makes a pile of money, and he's got, if you don't like it, too bad. He's got it there so he doesn't forget. And they're not going to pipe the music in. It's not going to be streamed where he's not really singing. But Tim McGraw, you got to do something better than this. And you darn sure don't get down off the stage and confront the fans. That's bad. That's really, really bad form. And to blame it on your movie career or whatever is pretty bad form as well. There you go. There's your Yellowstone update and your Tim McGraw and your music notes update on KKHI. Thank you as always for listening. I greatly appreciate it. Don't forget to mention it to a friend and share. I met 7 or 8 people Tuesday that didn't know I'm doing a podcast. I got to find a way to advertise this thing. I got to figure out what's the right way to go forward and get more publicity out there that we're doing the podcast, because people come up all the time still and say, man, I miss you on the radio. And I say, man, I'm doing a podcast every day. They're like, what? Really? I hand them a little card and say, here's how you listen. You guys are doing a great job spreading the word. It's just unbelievable how many people still don't know that it's out there, but you're helping. Please spread the word. If you'd like to become a patron, go to kkhasissues.com on your desktop, on your laptop. Just open your browser. Go to kkhasissues.com. That's the easiest way to sign up to become a patron. It takes less than 5 minutes, and it's $5 a month. To get more of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.